Hello everyone, good morning again, and we'll continue to do our practice of Arasadva. We will come to the conclusion of our retreat, and I'd like to share that I'm really happy that we did this, and I think this is it. This is what we should be doing, more retreat. And purification practice and accumulating of merit in a way that we try to integrate the teachings within ourselves, that we take some time and some moments for reflection and for integrating, not just knowing it, but then continuing doing many, many, many things, because we need to allow ourselves some time for integration. And I think retreat is what does this to do. And I think it is right under our noses, you know? It's right there under our noses that if we keep doing these things, we'll get there. I mean, everything will happen. We always try to be happy and we hurry here and there and do this and do that. And you know, in the hope that we're going to find happiness, we're going to overcome suffering. And when conditions are good, we just keep going. And when they are bad, we kind of hurry to find something. And this is how we live, usually. I mean, we just up and down and up and down. And I think it is really, really, really just under our noses. We should do this more. I mean, if we really want to be happy, if we really want to know ourselves, if we really want to get in touch with what samsara is and this kind of a conditioned mind is, and we want really to overcome it, or we don't know, but we want to understand more and go more deep there, this is what we should be doing. I mean, I think there's no other way. There's no other way than to stop and do retreats from time to time. And I think as His Holiness the Dalai Lama and other masters says, the Dharma in a broad sense, be it the Buddha Dharma or any path that allows us to recognize our inner nature, how we are, how our experience is, and transcend, overcome this condition to experience any dharmic path, in this sense, whether they bring us up to the end or not, you know, following in these steps, is not an option. It's a need, it's a must. It's not that we have other options. I mean, and it's right there, and we have the practices, and we have this magnificent practice of Vajrasattva, which works. I mean, and if we do it, things get cleared away, and we get more energy, and we get more mental flexibility, and we feel we lose weight in a good sense, you know, and release things, and then the Dharma becomes clearer in our minds, and there's more lucidity. These practices, they do this to you, they do this to us, they do this to everyone who practices them in a good way, honest way, flexible way. When we are tired, we need, of course, to stop, we need to balance ourselves, we need to find a way. But I think there's not other option than that. And it's right here under our noses, and we just keep forgetting it. I think so. I think we're really lucky and really glad to be doing this. So there's actually a question related to that. And it was mentioned in this retreat that our lives is controlled by karma. I'm translating that. It's controlled by karma, that all that happens to us is due to karma, that in actuality we don't have control. If I didn't understand wrongly, mistakenly. So is this applying also to the fact that we can meet the teachings of the Dharma that will help us attain liberation? Is this also under the control of karma? Are we going to be reborn and die and reborn and die again? With suffering until we have the right conditions that can put us in contact with these teachings. In some of our lives, we could be in contact with the Dharma and even so ignore it because we're not ready or because of the karmic conditions are not complete. If this is so, there's kind of not much hope. It can be even somehow a bit of a depressing. And this karma, that's quite a lot of things. If karma is always there, it has been always there, how is it that we enter into that? So it's somehow... So we try to look inside, right? Not, we don't try to just look at it from a logical perspective, but we try to look at how our existence is, moment by moment. How my mind is, how I experience things, how I perceive things, how I react to things, which are the kind of things that come up from the external and from the internal, and how this is fixed into the experience right now, into my experience right now. So no just conceptual thought, a lot of observation of our lives, right? So moment by moment, look at this, a few seconds, moment by moment. When we meditate, when we try to calm our minds with a breath, for instance, moment by moment. There's a lot of things happening there. When we put the attention there, we realize there's change moment by moment. There's one feeling popping up, one sensation from the body, one thought coming up. There's something from the exterior, a sound, or someone says something. Announce, I feel pain here or there. And then I go to the physician and he tells me, you have this or that. Or today is a sunny day and I'm happy. All these things which compose our experience right now, moment by moment, do we choose them? Are we choosing them? Or they just come up? I mean, we can work with conditions. We can work with external and internal conditions. We can, if we think, I want to buy a house, or I need to find a job, I will move around so that I can put the conditions around me for this to happen. But will this happen for sure? It will happen the way you want to. It will get into fixing an experience. Right now, experiencing a house, a partner, a job, a state of mind, happiness or not, or all these things. Am I choosing how it's gonna be?
right? Am I choosing which is the first reaction I'm going to have, or it just comes up? Am I choosing which thought will come up when this or that happens, or it just comes up? So this is the kind of experience we have, the degree of freedom we have here is we can try to put good conditions into our lives, conditions that we think they will be conducive for us. And then hope that it happens, that we have the good karma to experience what I think it would be good. And the other level of freedom that we have is the less afflictions we have, the more open space in our mind so that we can transform our afflictions, deal with them, have mental space for dealing with them, for choosing, okay, I'm feeling angry. Do I want to follow that anger or not? Do I want to act out of it or not? This kind of inner mental space, the more we have this, the more freedom we have. This is another level of freedom. Still, we are bounded by seeing the things as they come, just as they come. Inherently, it seems everything is fixed. This table is here, this sunny day is there, this stormy day is there, this emotion is there, and it is like that. And there's no chance I can right now experience it in another way, because our mind is bounded by ignorance, is bounded by fixing things continually, projecting and fixing things and thinking that this comes from the outside. We forget the mind's contribution into the experience. Moment by moment, our experience, our reality is created by wherever external phenomena there might be that is perceived and experienced. And the mind contributing to creating this experience, but we forget that. We're not seeing this. We're not seeing all this movement and possibilities for experiencing reality. We're stuck with what it comes. So this is not a level of freedom. Karma is what makes this, in the sense is how our mind is configured right now. The imprints we have, it makes our mind kind of take this shape when experiencing things. And there's no freedom there. This is due to karmic imprints of continuously experience with ignorance. Therefore, we're experiencing with this tendency of fixing things, of seeing reality as being inherently existent. So as long as we don't cut this, we're controlled by that. And continuously, moment by moment, we put more imprints of this, because this is how we experience and this is what we continue to do. And then afflictions come up and we believe them and we follow them. And unless we transform our minds and we give ourselves more mental space, they just decide how I am going to act. I do act. And this puts a reflection on my mind, and this will shape the experiences I will have. So that's for us to reflect about. It's not just intellectual thing. It's observe whether this makes sense or not, and then everyone from here can deduce how much level of freedom we have. If we don't do this, we will continue to be bounded by karma and afflictions. But the good news is this can be changed. And the Dharma, the good news is the Dharma is very powerful, very powerful. And the good news is we have really powerful techniques that, thanks to many, many, many people who have put them into practice, they could have said, I just don't do it, or I do it just by myself, but I don't share it. But we have it here. It's not many people in the world that have access to all these techniques. We have it here, and karma can be changed and can be overcome. So we have all this degree of freedom. And also we have the degree of freedom of motivation. Intention is what fixes karma, our actions, it's what directs our actions. So once an action with one intention, for instance, getting enlightened will bring us there. With other intentions, we will continue to be in samsara because it shapes the imprint, the intention. So our motivation can be more powerful than karma itself, than the action itself. So it shapes our future. So we have our future in our hands. So this is the good news. This is the level of freedom we have. Then from here, everyone chooses. So it can, if we just see the bondage, we have several options. We don't like it, so we forget about it. But not because we forget about it, it won't happen. It's not there. This is not how things work. Another option is it's very difficult. So yeah, we can get a little bit depressed and do nothing because we lack energy. Or the other option is, okay, so this is how things are. Let's do something. It's difficult. Then I will have to put some more energy. My life doesn't allow me to do it. Then I will need to change a few things. It's even more difficult. I will need to put more energy. But in a good sense, in the sense that yes, we can. I mean, it depends on us. I was saying it's just under our nose, and I'm amazed sometimes how I'm speaking by myself at least, how days go by. You know, there are periods in life in which one practices more, one does more retreat, and I was missing doing retreat a lot, and this cannot happen again. I mean, and it depends on our choices, the choices we do in life. It depends on how much observation and reflection we do. And we have it here, and it's wonderful and it's powerful. Vajrasattva practice is very powerful. And as Anne was sharing yesterday, it brings about things. It brings about results. And really not... And some of them are very personal. All of them are personal. But, I mean, things that happen to us and we need to deal with this. But others, they relate a lot with Dharma. Our mind becomes clearer. Obstacles in our lives, obstacles in our practice and so on, they get clear to way. I mean, I'm not saying just do one day of Vajrasattva and everything will be fine forever and ever. I mean, it's hours of mantra of practicing that we need to do, but it's not that much. And compared with this conditioned existence, it's kind of easy. It's not we have to go to the moon. I mean, sitting to the cushion, the practices are there, our mental capacity is there. So it's really lucky, I think so. I mean, look at all these people. We can do something for them. The persons we've put in the dedication list and for so many others. So... I wanted to briefly share something about karma. I'm assuming everyone has received or read or listened to some teachings about karma, right? About how a little bit karma works. Yeah, so I'm not going into detail now. Just to mention, we're purifying with this related to the four opponent powers. Here, so it's good that we stop in every one of them because we're doing things with them. We said they help us to have all the aspects we need and all the power, internal power, and give all the power for the practice to work. But also, individually, they do something. So the power of regret, sometimes called repudiation or I don't want that, which is feeling regret for the negative actions we have done, like I don't want that, I know this might happen, that I have it in my mental continuum, so let's purify it. This purifies the result similar to the chaos as an experience. What does this mean? That when we harm someone, there's an imprint left in our mental continuum of this harm. So we just have been bounded by this experience of harm. Right, there's a reflection on us. We were talking about this the other day. There's a reflection on us of this harm, right? So we are bounded by experiencing this harm, similar to what happened. So with the regret, when we stop doing the regret practice, we purify this in the sense that we shape this potential for experiences, this same experience, because we say, oh, this is not good, I don't want this. So this somehow modulates this experience so that it doesn't happen. It said the power of reliance, this is the basis or the object, is refuge and bodhicitta. It purifies the environmental result. So it's because the environmental result is what we experience once we have been born as humans, for instance. We have certain conditions, external conditions. By taking refuge, generating bodhicitta, see, we relate to our experience and to others and to our own confidence and to having the possibility of meeting the Dharma. I will go there and so on. So we shape our environment, our where we are, our experience. The power of remedy, this is the main practice. We are now working, for instance, with Vajrasattva. This purifies the fruition or result. So our rebirth, this is our rebirth, is the main practice. By doing Vajrasattva, we can affect the actions that would throw us into one or another rebirth. And the power of resolution or the promise, this is kind of easy to understand, making the determination to refrain from negative actions in the future. It's quite logical. This purifies the results similar to the cause as habit. We create tendencies. Every time we do some things, we put a pathway in our minds or also in our brains, you know, we create these neuronal pathways that we have. This is the easy path for us because we have been doing this. So we create tendencies, we create patterns, we create habits. By the power of resolution, saying, oh no, I will stop this, even if it's for just one day, we're changing these pathways, we're changing these habits. This has also a neuronal effect. It's seen in terms of our neurons, because we usually take the easier paths, the ones that have been walked before. And so it's good to know. So that sometimes we have the tendency of going fast, you know, to the different powers. If we stop there, we're doing all these things to our mind. And in the question, there was also the fact that we meet or not the Dharma in our future lives depend somehow of what we do now. Yeah, we could be reborn in a place where there's plenty of Dharma, which is not usually so in this planet. But we're lucky enough that we have found it. But if we don't create the wish and the interest, it's going to be around, but it won't interest us. It won't touch us. It won't say anything to us. So yeah, this is something we create. And for instance, when doing the seven limb practice, we do this. All the practices, we do something. The seven limb practices is please remain to those great beings. Please continue to do the Dharma. We're creating a wish there. When we take refuge, same. We're creating a connection so that we can continue to have this connection. Does it answer? Okay, so we can go. And we'll start with the daily practices. So we take a few moments to settle down. And to get this balance between being present and still at ease. This is something that we develop over time. So we just release tension in the body if we find there's tension. And if we find we're lacking energy, we give us some energy in the body, in the mind, finding this balance. Not too tight, not too loose. And we can take a few moments to rejoice. To rejoice that we have met the Dharma, to rejoice that we have this precious human life, to rejoice that we have some level of freedom. And so to rejoice that we can do something for others, slowly, gradually, knowing when to stop, knowing when it is too much, but we can actually do something. So we can take a few moments to rejoice in where way works for us. Maybe we can also take the opportunity to take some determination to continue to practice, to allow ourselves to do that. If we find obstacles, usually purification works quite well in dispelling them, in helping us put our lives in a way that are conducive, at least some aspects of our lives. So not just in an abstract way, but thinking how our lives are, how our daily life it is right now. Allow ourselves to see ourselves in these daily lives with some more space for integrating. For gaining freedom and care and bodhicitta and wisdom. And we can even ask for help, ask our gurus, ask to the Buddhas, Bodhisattvas, to the great beings, whoever it inspires you, or whatever qualities you think there are around that can touch us. We open up so that we receive their light, their inner strength, their help, because it's there. The more we let this refuge be within us, the more we find a way. And we can also widen our minds so that we embrace all sentient beings. If we're brave, even those who we don't like that much. Beings in the many different realms. So we can allow ourselves make this care for them be part of the purpose of our lives. So we integrate them within us slowly, slowly. And with this, we're going to the purification practice. We start with the daily prayers, the daily practices or verses. I go for refuge until I'm enlightened to the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Supreme Assembly. By my practice of giving and other perfections, may I become a Buddha to benefit all sentient beings. I go for refuge until I'm enlightened to the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Supreme Assembly. By my practice of giving and other perfections, may I become a Buddha to benefit all sentient beings. I go for refuge until I'm enlightened to the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Supreme Assembly. By my practice of giving and other perfections, may I become a Buddha to benefit all sentient beings. May all sentient beings have happiness and the causes of happiness. May all sentient beings be free from suffering and the causes of suffering. May all sentient beings be inseparable from the happiness that is free from suffering. May all sentient beings abide in equanimity, free from attachment for friends and hatred for enemies. Reverently, I prostrate with my body, speech, and mind. I present clouds of every type of offering, actual and imagined. I declare all my negative actions accumulated since beginningless time. I rejoice in the merit of all holy and ordinary beings, including oneself. Please remain until the end of cyclic existence. And turn the wheel of Dharma for living beings. I dedicate my own merits and those of all others to the great enlightenment. This ground, anointed with perfume, strewn with flowers, adorned with more meru, four continents, the sun, and the moon. I imagine this as a Buddha field and offer it. May all living beings enjoy this pure land. Idam Guru Ratna Mandala Kam Niryatayami. On your right side is your father. We do the Heruka Vaisa Sattva practice now. We keep our minds on our body from time to time. If we find there's tightness, we loosen up. If we find we need some more energy, we give it to us. We recall bodhicitta from time to time, so that we make it bigger and more powerful. On your right side is your father. On your left side is your mother. Your enemy and those sentient beings who make you agitate that are in front of you. People you are attached to are seated behind you. All other universal living beings are surrounding you. Visualize a standing Heruka embracing Vajravarahi as your principal refuge object. Around him are the Dakas and the Kinis, wrathful gods and peaceful goddesses, and many other Buddhas, Bodhisattvas, and Arhats who have completely attained the everlasting peaceful realization of enlightenment. There are 62 different deities in the Heruka Mandala. So we contact with our mind of refuge. We take refuge. I forever take refuge in Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha. I take refuge in all the three vehicles, in the Dakas and the Kinis of secret mantra yoga, in the heroes and heroines, the gods and goddesses, and in the bodhisattvas of the 10 bhumis. But most of all, I take refuge in my holy guru forever. I forever take refuge in Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha. I take refuge in all the three vehicles, in the Dakas and the Kinis of secret mantra yoga, in the heroes and heroines, the gods and goddesses, and in the bodhisattvas of the 10 bhumis. But most of all, I take refuge in my holy guru forever. I forever take refuge in Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha. I take refuge in all the three vehicles, in the Dakas and the Kinis of secret mantra yoga, in the heroes and heroines, the gods and goddesses, and in the bodhisattvas of the 10 bhumis. But most of all, I take refuge in my holy guru forever. I must become Heruka in order to lead all sentient beings to the sublime state of Herukahood. I must become Heruka in order to lead all sentient beings to the sublime state of Herukahood. I must become Heruka in order to lead all sentient beings to the sublime state of Herukahood. The objects of refuge then melt into light and dissolve into Heruka, who in turn melts into light and dissolves into you. Instantaneously, I arise as dark blue Heruka with one face and two arms holding Dorje and Bell. Out of the void, about 6 inches above the crown of my head, appears a seed syllable palm, which transforms into a 1,000-petal lotus. On top of the lotus appears a seed syllable A, which transforms into a moon disc. In the center of the moon disk stands the seed syllable HUM. Suddenly the HUM transforms into a white five-pronged bhaja with a HUM at its center. Much radiant light emanates from both the HUM and the bhaja, going out into the 10 directions and completing the 2 purposes, offering great psychic blissful energy to all gurus and buddhas, and purifying the defilements of all sentient beings. The whole universe melts into light. This light then returns and is absorbed by the HUM in the bhaja. The HUM and bhaja also melt into light and transform into Heruka Vajrasattva. Vajrasattva is white. He has one face and two arms. Sitting in the full lotus position, he holds a bhaja in his right hand at his heart and a bell in his left, which rests in his lap. His consort Dorje Nyima Karma embraces him, her legs encircling his body. She too is white and has one face and two arms. She holds a curved knife in her right hand and a skull cap in her left. They are both dressed in robes of heavenly silk and adorned by precious jewel ornaments. They both have seed syllables OM at the crown chakra, A at the throat chakra, and HUM at the heart. Brilliant light radiates from the home at the heart, invoking the divine supreme wisdom energy of all the Tathagatas to the space in front of Ajnasada in the form of the wisdom beings. Om Kendaro hi hum hum pe Om Shava Shuddha Sarva Dhamma Shava Shuddha Ham. All is void. Out of the void appears a seed syllable A. It turns into a huge white skull cup containing the five meats and nectars. They melt, becoming an ocean of the Amrita energy of divine transcendental wisdom. Oma hum ha ho ri, Oma hum ha ho ri, Oma hum ha ho ri. And we present the offerings. We imagine they fill the whole sky. And this gives a, when received, this transforms it all into the wisdom of enjoying and realizing emptiness, the wisdom of bliss and emptiness. In those who receive and in those who offer. Om Vajrasattva Arga Pratisha Hunsa. Om Vajrasattva Padya Pratisha Hunsa. Om Vajrasattva Pupe Pratisha Hunsa. Om Vajrasattva Dupe Pratisha Hunsa. Om Vajrasattva Aloke Pratisha Hunsa. Om Vajrasattva Gende Pratisha Hunsa. Om Vajrasattva Nyude Pratisha Hunsa. Om Vajrasattva Shaka. Ja ho bam ho. They become non-dual. The wisdom beings who are the wisdom energy of all Tathagatas joyfully sink into Vajrasattva's divine heart, becoming completely one, like a drop of water sinking into the ocean. Again, brilliant light radiates from the home at the divine heart, invoking all the initiating deities of the five families. We make offerings to them. Om Penchakula Sapariware Argam Payam Pupe Dupe Aloke Gende Nyude Shaka Pratisha Hunsaham. O Tathagatas, please resolve me the Heruka Vajrasattva initiation. Upon this request, all the Tathagatas hold up their initiation vases, which are full of the Amrita energy of divine transcendental wisdom, and the Amrita starts to flow. The divine body of perfect absolute wisdom, Heruka Vajrasattva, is completely filled with the Amrita energy of blissful transcendental wisdom. So Amrita overflows and transforms into Akshobhya, who adorns Vajrasattva's crown. The initiation deities melt into light and sink into Vajrasattva. At the center of a moon disk at the divine heart stands a seed syllable hum, encircled by the 100-syllable mantra, standing counterclockwise around the edge of the moon disk. And we make offerings to Heruka Vajrasattva. Om Vajrasattva Argam Padyam Pupe Dupe Aloke Gende Nyude Shata. Om Vajrasattva Om Ahum. Non-dual divine wisdom, magnificent in a jewel, ornament of all mother sentient beings, indestructible, magnificent wisdom mind that releases all sentient beings from all negativities of body, speech, and mind, especially broken vows and pledges. To you, glorious Vajrasattva, I prostrate. These grounds, anointed with perfume, strewn with flowers, adorned with Mount Meru, four continents, the sun and the moon. I imagine these as a Buddha field and offer it. May all living beings enjoy this pure realm. The right view of Sunyata is one with the wisdom of great bliss. This wisdom transforms into Mount Meru, the sun, the moon, and all other phenomena in the universe. I offer everything magnificent to you, ocean of great kindness, who are liberated and who liberates all mother sentient beings as well. The objects of my attachment, aversion, and ignorance, friends, enemies, and strangers, and my body, wealth, and enjoyments. Without any sense of loss or hesitation, I offer this collection. Please accept it with pleasure and bless me and all sentient beings with freedom from the three poisons. Idam Guru Ratna Mandala Kam Niryatayami. Now the power of regret and refuge. Through ignorance and delusion, I have broken and damaged my pledges. Holy Guru, who has the power to liberate me, my inner master, holder of the Vajra, whose essence is great compassion, Lord of all migratory beings, to you I go for refuge. O Bhagavan Vajrasattva, destroyer of all defilements, who has attained all realizations and has passed to the other shore, I request you to please purify all negativities and broken and damaged pledges of myself and other sentient beings. And remember that this purification capacity and energy is also our own capacity and energy and potential for purification, for realizing our primordial nature. So this is what we're requesting to, this is what we are contacting to when we do this. So we can stop with the power of regret now. And the power of remedy. Because of this request, brilliant light radiates from the mantra rosary and the home at the divine heart of Vajrasattva. The light purifies all negativities and obscurations of all sentient beings and becomes an offering for all the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas. The essence of the perfect qualities of their holy body, speech, and mind, all their transcendental knowledge, wisdom, returns in the form of light that sinks into the home and the mantra rosary at Vajrasattva's divine heart. From the home and the mantra rosary, a stream of blissful white and Amrita energy begins to flow down through the central channel of the divine couple. The Amrita flows out through their secret chakras in union and flows into me through my crown chakra. Flowing down through my central channel, this stream of transcendental wisdom and Amrita energy fills my whole body, destroying all negativities and defilements of my body, speech, and mind. These are completely purified. And as we recite the mantra from time to time, we can check our minds, check our motivation, widen them to bodhicitta also, slowly, easy, but there. And we'll do half of the time we usually do for the mantra, so that we take more time for dedication. Om Vajra Heruka Samaya Manupalaya Heruka Denapatita Didomewa Satkayama Kayamewa Nuratomewa Savasime Prayatsa Savakama Tutsamensi Tsatsi Yakuna Heruka Masaya Saba Aumbe. Take a few moments to let the mantra vibrate and dissolve with an open, vibrant mind. We contact with a sense of purity of body, speech, and mind. All defilements, confusion, hindrances, difficulties, broken vows and pledges, negative actions, and so on, dissolved, dispelled, clarified away, and we stay there. I can recall emptiness. Even though everything appears inherently to us, no phenomenon has inherent existence. Every phenomenon is totally empty of existing inherently. It's an interdependence. It can change. In emptiness, there is no I, no creator of negative karma, and no action of creating negative karma. And there is no negative karma created. We may make offerings and praise out of the void. Om Vajra Sattva Arga Padya Pupe Dupe Haloke Gende Nyure Shat. Om Vajra Sattva Om Ahum. And dual divine wisdom, magnificent in a dual ornament of all mother sentient beings, supreme, indestructible, magnificent wisdom mind that releases all sentient beings from all negativities of all this speech and mind, especially broken vows and pledges. To you, glorious Vajrasattva, I prostrate. Vajrasattva says, O child of good family, your negativities and obscurations and damage and broken pledges are cleansed and purified. Think that what Guru Vajrasattva says has actually happened. All your negativities have been completely purified. There is not the slightest trace of defilement left on your mental continuum. Your mental continuum is completely pure. Now the power of restraint. From now on, I'll abstain from all devices that I can abstain from, and I'll abstain from those that are extremely difficult for me to abstain from, for one day, 1 hour, 1 minute, or at least a few seconds. We can try to take this promise as with a sense of release, relief. Finally, we're getting rid of these habits that don't help us. Now, the absorption. You're about to abstain from creating negative karma, please, as Guru Vajrasattva, who will now melt into light and dissolve into you. Dorje Nyima Karma is transformed into light and is absorbed into Vajrasattva. Vajrasattva then melts into light and sinks into my heart. My 3 doors of body, speech, and mind become inseparably one with Vajrasattva's holy body, speech, and mind. Vajrasattva and I are completely one, and I enjoy the bliss of sunyata in full samadhi, beyond the dualistic view that discriminates between subject and object. This is the highest possible enjoyment. And again, we can recall emptiness. And from emptiness, we'll transform the Torma. We offer the Torma as a thanksgiving. And as a final, we think that all our hindrances, they go away when we transform and offer the Torma. I instantly arise as dark blue Heruka with one face and two hands, holding Bharja and Bell. Standing with my right leg extended, I embrace my consort, the right Bharja Valahi, who has one face and two hands and holds a curved knife and skull cup. Om Kendaro Hi Hum Hum Pe Om Shawawa Shuda Sarva Dharma Shawawa Shudo Hum. Everything becomes completely void. Out of the non-dual void appears the seed syllable A, which transforms into a very large white skull cup. Inside the skull cup are the five meads and five nectars. The substances melt into liquid and become an ocean of amrita energy of divine, blissful, transcendental wisdom. Oma hum ha hoji, Oma hum ha hoji, Oma hum ha hoji. In front of me appears Bhagavan Vajrasattva with Dorji Nyingma Karma. On Vajrasattva's tongue, a white hum transforms into a white three-pronged Vajra. From these three-pronged Vajra, hollow tubes of Vajra light appear, through which the essence of the Torma is drawn forth and enjoyed. Om Vajra Sabha Sapariware Idam Balinta Kaka Kai Kai. Om Vajra Sabha Sapariware Idam Balinta Kaka Kai Kai. Om Vajra Sabha Sapariware Idam Balinta Kaka Kai Kai. Om Vajra Sabha Argam Padyam Pupe Dupe. Aloke gende nyude shaka. Om Vajra Sattva Om Aum. Non-dual divine wisdom, magnificent inner jewel ornament of all mother sentient beings, supreme. Indestructible, magnificent wisdom mind that releases all sentient beings from all negativities of body, speech, and mind, especially broken vows and pledges. To you, glorious Vajrasattva, I prostrate. And let's take a few moments to gather all this energy of purification with created to rejoice on all we've done and we're doing and we've done in the past and we will do in the future. And this, all this good energy and merit and positive karma and potential of all sentient beings as well, and of all our gurus and great beings. And we can transform this into more potential by dedicating. So we're going to dedicate. because of this merit, may quickly become Heruka Vajrasattva and lead each and every sentient being into his divine enlightened realm. May the precious body mind not yet born arise and go. May that born have not declined but increased forevermore. And we dedicate for the long life, healthy life, life full of Dharma of all our gurus, teachers, of all precious gurus, teachers, beings who are around, so that they continue to teach us, we continue to get in touch with them to receive Dharma, so that we can contribute to other beings receiving this as well, getting to know how to avoid suffering, how to be free from it and its causes, so that we can realize what samsaric mind and existence is, and we can become enlightened to contribute to the others becoming enlightened too, because this is a potential we have, this is who we are. This is not far away from us. This is right here, so that we can realize that. And we can always find inspiration and guidance from our teachers and from our inner guru as well. So for His Holiness the Dalai Lama, Lama Zopa Rinpoche, and all precious teachers. Gari rawe kowe shinkan di pendan dewa malu jungwen chen re ziwan tenzing yatso yi shabe site badu ten gyoshi du tsu chan shin jang gong ye wei Ten zin kyon pe we kun so do po ze. Chok sun ku we le mon tu tu. Pa dak sok du je gon du sha ten shok. And we can dedicate for all beings so that they receive our energy. We can dedicate so that we can always find conducive conditions, and so that when we don't find them, we can overcome them, transform them, learn from them. And we can dedicate for all the people we need, and we're going to dedicate for the people in the dedication list now. And because this is very personal, maybe we can stop recording while we're reading and sending the energy to those people, and then we record again. We will finish with some verses from the Shantideva prayer, but first of all, if you want to share something or there's something left or to be comment or anything, we can do it now. I want to thank so much Julie and Land of Joy and Cherry and Charlotte and everyone for being here. I keep repeating that, but I'm happy that we did this. And I hope we can continue, everyone their own way. I hope we all find the conditions that help us to continue. And thank you so much.
I want to thank you, Marina, from Lendo. Oh. I wrap it virtually around your head. Thank you so, so, so much. Generally, really, it was an incredible retreat, and it was a pleasure to work with you. And thank you for all participants, really, for all the effort, for showing up for all sessions, for all the sessions you did at home, for all your dedication, for all the merits you create. Thank you to Charlotte and to Cherry, and for all your hard work. And yeah, may your Dharma flourish, may your practice flourish, may we all meet again. Honestly, may we be able to be aware of the preciousness of our practice and of our teachers and of our path. May we be able to share that with everyone around us. And may we meet you again and again and again. And Marina, may we meet you at Land of Joy. So thank you really, everyone. And it was really, really, really nice. So
thank you to all, to everyone. I mean, the categories, yes, to everyone.
So that's for me.
Thank you. Really, I mean, the karma, the karma is believing we can do it. And as Judy said, we can find the preciousness in it and the preciousness within ourselves, and that we can do it. That's the karma. Then the others follow somehow. I don't know. Okay, we can reach Shantideva's Redication if you want. So I'm going to find it here. It's, I need to find the page. Okay. So we dedicate all energy and potential going there. May all beings everywhere, plagued by sufferings of body and mind, obtain a notion of happiness and joy by virtue of our merits. May no living creature suffer, commit evil, or even fall ill. May no one be afraid or belittled, with a mind weighted down by depression. May the blind see forms and the deaf hear sounds. May those whose bodies are worn with toil be restored on finding repose. May the naked find clothing, the hungry find food. May the thirsty find water and delicious drinks. May the poor find health. Those weak with sorrow find joy. May the forlorn find hope, constant happiness, and prosperity. May there be timely rains and bountiful harvests. May all medicines be effective and wholesome prayers bear fruit. May all who are sick and ill quickly be freed from their ailments. Wherever diseases there are in the world, may they never occur again. May the frightened cease to be afraid and those bound be freed. May the powerless find power, and may people think of benefiting each other. For as long as space remains, for as long as sentient beings remain, until then, may it too remain to dispel the miseries of the world. So maybe contribute to that, and thank you very much. I hope you are all well. I hope we enjoy the retreat that continues now.
Thank you.
In our daily life. And I hope to see each other again here or there.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.